Hi, I'm Nathan Austin, and you're listening to Glory Days of Gold.
Lord Provost Warren of Glasgow presents the Scottish League Cup to the side that last in the course banner, all conquering East Fife.
As I made my way to that pitch on Wellesley Road, sing my songs for the boys in black and gold. I heard the stories about 1938, and I was just a boy, I knew I'd have to wait. Now there's broken dreams and what might have been at that stadium by the shore, but those glory days of gold might return once more.
Hello, hello everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Glory Days of Gold, your East Fife and Scottish football podcast. I'm Lee Gillis.
I'm Gordon Henderson.
I'm Andrew Wardender.
And guess who's back? Back again. It's been a while since we were last on air. There's been a lot of positivity since we were last on air. There's been a lot of points since we were last on air. And we've not even been here to talk about it. So this episode is dedicated to every single person that stopped me at Bayview yesterday and went, "When's the show coming back?" Because I felt like I had a stock response for every single one of them yesterday. And here it is. You'll notice that we're a little bit light on the ground with the panel tonight. I believe that Doug's in Tampa. And Aaron is hoping to join us at some stage. He's on the bedtime routine. I don't know if it's for himself or for his kids, he didn't elaborate. And poor Michael is laid up in bed with the flu. So you're stuck with us tonight and you're stuck with my hosting abilities, which aren't quite as good as Michael's. But again, you know, with no Michael means there's no MLS chat or locker room chat or any of that sort of nonsense. So these are spared for the foreseeable. First and foremost, gents, Gordon, how are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Doing all right. Nice to be cheered up by good results. Always adds a little bit of positivity.
And Ward, yourself?
Aye, all good. All good, thanks, Lee. Just like as Gordon says there, just what a difference a few weeks makes in terms of the football side of things. Personally, great football. Wonderful, as I'm sure we'll come to in a minute.
Absolutely. I think the last time I seen yourself, Ward, was at Hospitality, maybe about 4 weeks ago or something like that.
Yeah, that was Mr. Campbell's first home game. And again, you might go into touch on this, Lee, but it was very good of him to take time out to come up to speak to everybody in Hospitality that day. It was his first game. And the man spoke very well and very inspiring. So if that's what he's saying to us as punters, I can only imagine what the dressing room was like.
Yeah, absolutely. Just before we delve into that, we'll just take a word from this episode's sponsor.
Mays Mortgages are Fife-based mortgage and protection specialists. Our aim is to provide our clients with high-quality, personal and friendly service. Our advisors have over 25 years of industry experience and have an outstanding record for sourcing our clients the products that suit their needs. Where we're different though, unlike many other brokers, from start to finish, we won't charge you a penny. Contact us via Facebook to find out more.
Thanks as always to Mays Mortgages. I could actually speak about how amazing Paul and the team are at Mays Mortgages if they just sorted out my one. So Paul, that's your fees ready for next year. You could just transfer your commission straight over to Glory Days of Gold to keep up your sponsorship because it's clearly working. Nothing to do with the fact that it's mine, but we take that and we move on. Yeah, I mean, everything's all good. I go every night to bed, dreaming about Dick, wake up in the morning, Dick's on my brain, you know, I just can't begin to tell you how good it feels. And if you think about it, you know, Dick's been on my mind for a good 4 or 5 weeks now, and it's, in fact, it's just all I could think about.
Yeah, well, you know, some things change, some things stay the same.
Yes, as I move into my new phase of my life, I'll have a rainbow flag outside my window in my new flat. But all joking aside, no, It's just the whole atmosphere around the club to me, Gordon, just seems completely different, and we seem just regenerized, we seem revitalized. Every we that I could probably think of has been us. The style of football has been great to watch. The team are battling for every ball. It's just been great.
Yeah, obviously, our last podcast was just when we'd kind of announced that Campbell was coming in, and his whole entourage that comes along with that. And I think even before a ball was kicked, we were all really positive. I think it was just such a kind of ambitious move and one that we all thought was really good, and that just gets everyone G'd up a little bit. I think the football clubs, it's always the same. Whatever goes on off the pitch, a lot of the kind of positivity and the kind of energy and the vibe, it comes from what's going on the pitch. And if that feels a little bit muted and a little bit low energy, I think that just seeps into the support, and that just kind of seems to like reflect on every part of the club. But on the other hand, when results are good and the team look like they're really up for it, really battling, we're going into every game thinking we can win this, or at least we're going to be really hard to beat, I think that just energizes everybody. Everybody takes their cue from kind of what goes on in the pitch. And the difference we've seen in the past 5 weeks has been pretty big. We look like a team that's, I don't think there's been massive changes in personnel or tactics or anything like that, but it just seems to be this rise in energy levels. We look like we're fighting. We look like we're kind of fulfilling a bit of the potential that we think this team had. And it's difficult not to be difficult not to be enthusiastic by that. And I think you can just see it. Everybody's lifted by it. And we've just switched around from it being a fairly tough slog being an East Fife fan to just suddenly feeling pretty good about it. I think everybody's feeling that.
I mean, we've had, if my mathematics is correct, which they're probably not, so a draw in his first game at Stenhouse Muir, then a 2-0 win away to Bonnyrigg, 1-0 draw with Forfar at home, 3-1 win away to Spartans, and then a 3-2 win against Dumbarton at home. So that's 5 games and 11 points out of a possible 15, which again is 30% off our points total for the season we've achieved in the last 5 games. Incredible numbers. And what you touched on at that first game that we played, Stenhouse Muir, you were in hospitality that day, where a wacky of mates, Dick, came up, and spoke to everyone in hospitality, and it was almost like you could hear like the Braveheart theme tune being dubbed in the background. Fans were, jumping out their seats almost with everything he had to say. And I think that's what makes him such a amazing character, is the fact that he's just so capable of bringing everybody on this journey with him. And I'm going to actually give somebody else a shout out on the back of that, as well as Ian Campbell, his brother, who has been so great to deal with in all my dealings with him so far. But also just the way that they speak, it's so invigorating and just amazing to listen to.
Yeah, I mean, going back to that hospitality, I could have genuinely sat there all night and listened to him. Very captivating, inspiring, motivational, all the things that you really want somebody as a manager to be. And it's not just even the way he comes across, it's what he said and the real determination and the genuine sort of nature of it all in terms of what he wants to do with the club. I mean, he's come in and he's bought into things straight away and he's really determined to change it. And as I say, just sitting as a fan listening to it was really inspirational. I understand that the training's been hard, but hard in a good way. And the players are really kicking on, and that's evident on the pitch, as Gordon's touched on, and it has given absolutely everybody a lift. I mean, if you go back, what, 6, 7 weeks, and you think of the podcast we were recording at that time and just how doom and gloom things were, I know a few people thought we were maybe a bit overly negative at that point. But as we've said since, it's only because you care that you make these noises. And but just thinking back to where we were then to where we are now, if somebody at that point had said in 6 or 7 weeks, you're going to be closer in terms of points to second in the table than you are at the bottom of the table, you would think that's just absolutely mental. And we were now in a position where we're 6 points off the playoffs with 8 games to go. And it's just teed us up brilliantly for the running. And I know, certainly in his interviews up to yesterday, Dick had constantly said, you know, make no mistake, my job here is to make sure this team's in the league. But I don't believe for a minute that in that dressing room he's not saying to the boys, look, especially after yesterday, this is there for the taking. We've got the momentum now. Dumbarton are slipping. And I personally don't see any reason why we shouldn't in these next 8 games go hell for leather for that playoffs. And I can, dare I say, a wee bit confident we might actually do it. Maybe I'm jumping the gun there. But based on form, based on the form of those around us, i.e. above us, and just based on the lift that he's given us and the evidence of the last 5 games and getting the potential out in these players and the buy-in from everyone, there's no reason why we shouldn't really be looking to kick on and do that now, in my opinion.
Well, having a look at the next 3 fixtures, Dumbarton's next 3 games are Spartans away, Bonnyrigg at home, Stenhouse Muir. Ours are Peterhead, Stranraer and Elgin. Now, if we could get 7 points out of 9, I don't think that Dumbarton will get much at Bonnyrigg. I don't think that they'll get much at Spartans. So really, it's there for the taking, and it's almost reminiscent of last season, Gordon, where we got to this stage and all of a sudden there was momentum and we were making a beeline for the playoffs. We're almost in the identical position as we were at this time last year, not too far off the playoffs and making an ascendancy. If I'm right, you're side-eyeing me, which makes me think I might be slightly wrong. But if we'll have a look at it, I mean, it's not unachievable. I mean, like War was saying there, we're now only 6 points off Dumbarton and 9 points off Spartans. However, let's look down first before we get too excited. Yesterday's results meant that we put 12 points between ourselves and Clyde. Do you see us, by any divine miracle, going down now, Gordon?
Absolutely not. I mean, I'll say right now, there is no chance in hell that Clyde are catching us. And yeah, even if, let's say, I'm wrong about that and Clyde do catch us, there's no way that Clyde, Stranraer, Bonnyrigg, Elgin, Forfar are all overtaking us. It's not happening. Yeah. Done.
What?
Totally agree. Yeah, I mean, if you look at that 12 points plus goal difference, you're really talking 13 points. So you're talking 8 games to go. You're talking Clyde, well, you're talking us losing 5 for a start at least, and Clyde winning 5. And when you look over the course of the season, yeah, Clyde are coming good. But no, I'd never advocate being complacent about it. But I think now that, especially the way we're playing and the way the team have been, I think it's got to be full steam ahead and focusing up the way 100% now. And the Gordon makes a good point. There's no way all these teams are going to catch us. I think Stranraer might be the ones in trouble, if I'm honest. But I just can't see us going down. I would never say past getting forget about it. But if I'm Dick Campbell and I'm that group of players, I'm saying, let's go for this. Last round of fixtures. Let's do it.
I mean, if we have a think about the games that we've had since Campbell came in, I think that the Campbells, should I say, I mean, that last game that Greg McDonald was in charge of was that 1-0 defeat away to Elgin. And you've got to think, you know, we were all fearing the worst after that. And like we said at the top of the show, it's what a difference a few weeks makes. Because some of the results that we've had in that, I mean, I never thought that we'd go to Spartans and play them off the park. Went last week at Spartans, played them off the park. I never thought we would go to Bonnyrigg, not concede and play them off the park. And we did exactly that. You know, we Bonnyrigged Bonnyrigg, which isn't a really easy thing to do, but it wasn't even just the result, it's the manner of the victories. And I get that there's been a few games, but whilst it's fresh in the memory, I do want to talk about yesterday, because it was a bit of a ding-dong at the docks, if you think about it that way. You know, we went and we got a very early goal, A player that really impressed me yesterday, Scott Shepherd, with some great desire to chase down that ball. Unlucky not to put it in himself, but Nathan Austin doing what Nathan Austin does, right place, right time, just to prod that one home. And then you're thinking, you know, we've hit the woodwork, what, two or three times in that half? Three times in that half. And you're thinking, well, we're going to batter them. Then they start to come into the game as the first half progresses. Second half comes out, and it was almost like Anthony Joshua versus Francis Ngannou, where it was like bang, bang, down. And you're thinking the worst, but then we get right back into it, 2-2. I'm on commentary yesterday, but also running the hospitality lounge. I had to go and get the Man of the Match award to Man of the Match from one of the guys in hospitality. Went and got that, came off commentary, literally just turned around and spoke to Caroline and went, would it not just be great once for us to get the last minute goal as Nathan Austin's looping header goes right in the top bin? I mean, as far as games go yesterday, that might be up there for my game of the season. What about you, Gordon?
Absolutely, so far game of the season. I think I agree exactly with what you're saying about, you know, how the game kind of went. I think, you know, half hour we should have been 2 or 3 nil up. I mean, we were chatting in the group chat about how we could really do these guys. But obviously we kind of failed to punish them a little bit, and they came back into it. But you know, it resulted in a really, really good game. I mean, that last 20 minutes. You know, really, I think we deserved it, but you feel like anybody could have got it. And you know, these games where you go ahead, you lose the lead, you go behind, and then you come back. That's just, you know, if you could write a script for a game and then forget that script, just enjoy it. That's the way you do it. And I think for me, a big thing is that sort of, you know, we talked. I mean, this is something Graham McDonald brought up earlier in the season. These kind of character test kind of things, and aside from how we're playing and individual performances and, you know, just how good the football is as a character test, to lose that lead where you could really feel sorry for yourself and let your head go down, and to just come back and not just get the draw, but to keep fighting until you win it, that's a massive pass on a character test for me. And that's as encouraging to me as anything. You know, we came from behind to beat Spartans. We came from behind to get a point against Forfar. And, you know, very rarely have we done that this season. I think, you know, the wins that we've had before, a couple of months ago, they've all been games where, you know, we've gone into the lead early, the other team has been poor, and we've kind of seen it out. You know, we haven't had these sort of winning from behind or winning in tough circumstances. And the fact that we are doing that now is so encouraging, because you feel like, you know, if we go up to Peterhead and we're losing 1-0 at half time, you think to yourself, we're not out with this. We can come back. We could get a point. We could maybe even win it. But it's 2 months ago, you'd be going, that's it. You know, we've probably lost this game. And that's such a big thing for a team, you know, to feel that you're never out of it. Is, you know, it's a good thing to have.
Yeah, I think it's what it's almost a bit like what a Raith Rovers fan might feel like, you know. Even at the last minute, we went out knocking at the door. I mean, I just want to talk about some of the goals that we scored yesterday, just before we, you know, keep talking about how good it is to be an East Fife fan right now. But realistically, I mean, I was very disappointed with the Dumbarton goalkeeper yesterday, young Jay Hogarth, who was on loan from the Rangers. Realistically, he should save Nathan Austin's header at the end, I think. He also should do better with Brian Easton's header. Although I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt of that one, because I think he's waiting for Scott Shepherd to get a touch on it, but Shepherd actually ducks rather than trying to flick it on, and it ends up in the back of the net. There's nothing he could really do about the first one, of course. But I mean, there was a couple of times yesterday that he was quite shaky. I mean, Conor McManus's shot, I felt like he could have dealt with that better. I mean, I don't want to use that to take away the performance from the team, because it was great to watch yesterday. And to me, Don't get me wrong, there is the occasional long ball that's unnecessary, but we just seem to have moved away from that sort of hit and hope. We just seem to be playing with a style of play. We seem to be playing with a purpose. And that's not to take away anything about what Greg and Paul did when they were with us. They've assembled that team that's in there, the one that the Campbells are using just now. I mean, don't get me wrong, the Campbells have brought in the young lad Blaney, Lyon. I feel like I'm missing one. Is it just those two? Because Hammond was signed by Greg.
Yeah, I think it's
Signed by
maybe just
Greg.
those
So
two.
you mean they've not, massively added to the squad, but what they have done is they've got a tune out of them more. And I think that if you have a look, I mean, I put it on the Twitter feed earlier on today. There's a few players playing out of their skin at the moment. Have you got a pick of the bunch?
Quite a lot to cover there, Lee, thanks. So, I think your point on the goalkeeper, firstly, I would agree with you. I don't know because I've not checked, but I'm assuming he was in goals in midweek and maybe he was a wee bit shell-shocked and confidence gone on the back of shipping five down at Stranraer. But to get that early goal and that early start, if he was in goals, probably set a wee bit of a tone for his performance. I agree with you. I think he should have saved Easton's one. I think Easton was actually surprised that went in. I mean, in all honesty, I just thought, certainly from where I was sitting, I thought that was really, really dodgy goalkeeping. And he didn't look convincing at all, which was obviously to our benefit. In terms of the overall setup and the way the team are playing, you're absolutely right. No huge change in personnel, but two things that are pretty stark to me from the outside looking in are, I think, what the coaching staff and the manager have done is I think they've come and I think they've simplified it, just as we kind of said they probably would do. I think it's now quite clear looking on the pitch that the players seem to be more aware of what the individual and collective roles are, but in a very simple way, which might sound very basic. But I think looking towards the end of Greg's time, I think there was a bit of, well, we've heard hearsay from comments made by a player in Elgin that they didn't know what they were doing. And looking at the pitch, I don't mean they didn't know exactly what their jobs were, but I think there was maybe an element of trying too hard from a coaching or management perspective and therefore overcomplicating things. And I think what they've done is they've just, totally from the outside looking in, it looks like they've come in, stripped it back, simplified it. Everybody's very familiar with what job they should be doing, and they're doing it very well. Just basic stuff. In terms of the individual players, it's hard to kind of single any one out. I mean, I think if you look at them all, there's just a kind of real renewed vigour and fight in all of them. I mean, you could take Troughton, for example. I think he's really stepped up. I think Fash is looking like he's just got that bit between his teeth at the minute. I think at the back, it's probably the most animated I've seen Easton play since he's been with us in terms of showing leadership to an extent, just right throughout the team. I think Walls has had a bit more of a license to just do what he does well rather than kind of being held back a wee bit. So I wouldn't like to pick out an individual. I just think individually and collectively, the whole team have just really grown. But I think it's come from just breaking it down, simplifying it, and just letting the boys go and play football in a straightforward setup. And they know their jobs and they're doing it well. And to me, as I say, from the outside looking in, that's what it looks like.
Gordon, we've spoke all in a few really, really good points there. Ward, you actually speak quite well. I like listening to you. Gordon, I don't like listening to you, just for the record. But all joking aside, I've spoke a lot about the positives. The negative for me is still the type of goals that we're conceding. And I feel like if you look at yesterday's game, the game against Spartans as well, we're very easily cut open. And I mean, Dumbarton had a few opportunities yesterday that I feel we didn't deal with enough. I mean, the first goal that Dumbarton got, sorry, the second one was an uncharacteristic error from Brian Easton for sure. But I mean, do you put that down to the defences and the players that are already there? Or is that something that you feel could be eradicated from a coaching perspective?
I think I'd agree that if you look at the last two games, the three goals we've conceded have you know, as much as there might have been a bit of quality on the other team, which I think there was, I think the finish at Spartans was very good, but I think letting the guy get into that position was very poor, and we got caught pretty flat there. I think again Dumbarton's first goal yesterday, the finish was very good, but to let them kind of, you know, move us about and then get the cross in from our right was pretty poor. And then obviously you're looking at you know, a mistake from Easton for their second. So I would agree that that is definitely probably, if you're looking at our recent games, probably top or very close to one of the things you'd be looking at. It's difficult because I think you can point to individual sort of mistakes or where individuals could have done better for some of these goals, but I think individually the defence has looked very good. I come away for these games thinking that individual players have had good games. You know, for example, the most obvious defensive error that cost us yesterday was Easton's, but I thought aside for that, Easton played very, very well.
Got man of match.
Yeah, I mean, aside from his goal, you know, he made a mistake and he scored a goal a few minutes later. So you're like, right, fair enough. But aside for those two things, I thought he was excellent. And but of course, I suppose you have to recognise as well that Spartans did create chances against us, and Dumbarton did create chances. You know, I think it's probably, I think probably the way that the Campbells will look at it is, from your question, is a bit of both. I think they will, as much as I think the players have been playing well, they will see it as their responsibility to try and bring in, you know, players that they think can improve the team. I think there's no doubt about that. I think they've kind of alluded to that or talked about that. And it probably is a little bit of, yeah, can we kind of cut that stuff out? I mean, the first Dumbarton goal yesterday, it was taken very well, but you know, if you looked at it, they switched the ball very quickly, and we looked, you know, we looked kind of immediately in a bit of trouble, and they managed to exploit that. So I think they will look at it and say there's things that they can improve with the shape or with the tactics defensively. And I imagine they will be looking to bring in players, but I think that's their attitude to this. I think they, everything I hear from Dick Campbell, he takes a pretty kind of aggressive attitude to these things, that he'll always be looking for better players. And if he can get a player in that he thinks is better than what we have, he'll do it, and there won't be kind of sentimentality around that. But I think individually, I can't really fault the players for their performances. I mean, there's been individual mistakes, but overall, I think, you know, the actual defence, the back four, have played well. And I think when you look at the midfield, you've obviously got Walls and McManus in the kind of deeper roles, and I thought they both played very well yesterday. On the defensive side, you know, a lot, both individually winning a lot of tackles in midfield. So I think it's difficult to put a finger on, but I don't think individuals have been playing poorly.
Yeah, well, I'm having a look just now at the remaining fixtures. So in terms of the remaining fixtures for the rest of the season, we've got Peterhead, Stenhousemuir and Spartans still to play. Sorry, and Stenhousemuir. So we've got all of the top four still to play if unless we take over them. So Peterhead, sorry, Stenhousemuir and Spartans are our three big games. But then we've also got Clyde away, Bonnyrigg at home, Forfar away, Elgin at home, Stranraer at home. So I want a one word answer. Okay. Gordon, have you got to the playoffs?
Yes.
War, have you gone to the playoffs?
Yes.
Fickle bastards, eh? Fickle as.
And I'll add one more thing. I
Yep.
mean, I think, you know, I'll be confident and I'll say yes, because on current form, we're overtaking Dumbarton. But not just getting into the playoffs, if we storm the final quarter and we go into the playoffs against a sort of stuttering Peterhead, a stuttering Spartans, and a pretty brutal Annan team, I'd fancy our chances in them. I mean,
Could you
wouldn't that
imagine
would be mental, but it's starting. I'm starting to see it.
We would
The
have
thing
to
is,
admit it's a
it's.
nick outside Bayview, surely.
I mean, the thing is, it's not, that comment is based on fact and the evidence that's been put in front of us since he's come in. I mean, let's be completely honest about this. We've played half the league since he's been in, and nobody's beaten us. And it's not as though we're fluking draws or being lucky with wins. I mean, we all know how difficult it is to go to Bonnybeg, ask Falkirk, and we've gone there and we've won 2-0. I mean, how many teams have gone to Spartans this year and won? Not very many. And even the games where, to be fair, like Sefofu, who have maybe not been brilliant, we've been resolute and we've not come away getting beat. And if you keep doing things that we're doing now with the momentum, the form, and let's be honest, we've got a decent squad there, as we've said all along. We've just underperformed up until Dick's come into the club. So the boys are now playing really at a level that their ability suggests they should. So it's based on that I gave my answer that yes. And I don't think that's far-fetched. I mean, it would have been absolute madness to suggest it 6 or 7 weeks ago. But now that we're organised and we're playing the way we are, and my view on Dumbarton is, I personally think that they have been so far ahead and comfortable in that top four, which has been so settled for so long, that they've almost gone into holiday mode. Now, when you subconsciously switch off, you can't flick a switch and get going again. I mean, I don't profess to know the ins and outs of everything that goes on at Dumbarton, but to go down to Stranraer and get hosed 5-0 in a week, I didn't think they were terrible yesterday, but I genuinely thought we were the better side. And if you looked at the two and you were to say to somebody who's gone to that game yesterday without any prior knowledge, which of these two teams has been in the top four for most of the season, I would think most people would say East Fife. So to that extent, I can't see us not finishing above Dumbarton, if I'm honest with you, as it stands.
I mean, if we have a look at the match stats from yesterday, there wasn't much in it. I mean, 8 shots versus 7, 5 shots on target versus 3. We had 8 corners to Dumbarton's 3, Dumbarton's 17 with 13 fouls to our 7 and 51% possession to 49. Now, that to me tells a different story on how the game felt, but actually, I kind of felt like when Dumbarton pulled the goal back, they deserved it. And then when they went 2-1 up, I thought, right, okay, like we could lick our wounds, but I don't think it would be fair to say it was completely undeserved. But it's, almost like what happened at Spartans, where like it's almost like a ah, fuck you, you're not beating us. I don't know if that's the right way to put it or not. I've never professed to be eloquent, but like you just like nah, you're not fucking beating us, and it's bang, bang, bang. And one of the things that we've not spoke about yesterday was the impact of Healy coming off the bench. He came up, and Nathan Austin spoke about it in his post-match against Pignatello, who I think is the best right back in the league. I think he's really, really a top player, and Jack terrorized him. Terrorized him. The cross that he put in for the goal was probably his best delivery of the season. And he was putting those balls in dangerous places yesterday. And it's, do you want to know what? It's like, finally, this is the Healy that we knew that was in there. And can we just get that over a consistent period over the rest of the season? Scott Shepherd, another one, was incredible yesterday, ran his socks off. Can we just get that into the rest of the season? Troughton, since we've moved them into the final third, has been amazing. Can we get that for the rest of the season? And I'm going to join you guys. I think we will get into the playoffs. Just whilst I put the question to you guys, I think that momentum is so important in football, and we've got that. The feel-good factor is back around the club. There were 75 in hospitality yesterday, which is absolutely brilliant, brilliant. There was £300 raised in the auction before the game, which again, is amazing. We got some sponsorship on the back of the hospitality yesterday that was at the game. As a commercial manager for the club, somebody came up to me and went, right, I'm looking to do a wee bit of sponsorship with you. What have you got? And that's all based on the fact of what they got in terms of their day yesterday. So I think that it just goes to show you where we are now versus where we are a few months ago. And this isn't an ass kissing thing for me, and people are going to think it is, but the board deserve credit because I think that it would have been so much easier to have said to Stevie Crawford, right, back you come, or to have gone to, anybody of the usual characters that are knocking around. We went up and got the best manager in the lower leagues, or the best management team in the lower leagues, bar none, the best part-time manager in Scotland, and we've attracted him to our club. That deserves credit. He's asked to bring a few players in. He got them. That deserves credit. So I think that for all the criticism aimed at the board this season, some of it just, some of it unjust, they deserve credit here because getting the Campbells in is a huge coup. And obviously not just backing him with that, but I mean the paying Dick's wages, his brother's wages, Young's wages, is it Stuart Malcolm's the other guy? I forget his name. His wages as well. It's a lot. You know what I mean? So definitely we've not taken the cheap option. We've dug deep and it feels good. It feels really good. So let's see how we get on for the rest of the season. Gordon, looking on to next week is a big game. We've not won at Peterhead yet this season. They seem to be a real bogey team for us. Can I get a prediction from you?
I think I'm looking at that as one of the toughest games that we have left. Because although they're not playing great, they're always a tough team to play. And being honest, I think we'll go up there and get a point, a 1-1.
War?
Hey, I'm kind of leaning to a draw as well. I was actually reading today that Peterhead's last six games, yesterday they won for the first time in six. To be fair, they've had four draws in there and one defeat, which kind of makes me lean to a draw. I would probably take a draw because I don't think Dumbarton are going to do much next week. And then going into two home games against Elgin and Stranraer. Not sure if it's in that order from memory, but Elgin and Stranraer is the next two home games. So if we can take the point, I'll be happy with that. You're always greedy and want three, but given Peterhead's form for the last six and our form, I don't think it's stretching it to potentially get a win there, but I would take a draw, and I think it will be a draw, if I'm honest with you.
Yep, I believe there is a few spaces left on the bus to Peterhead. If you are looking to get on the supporters bus, make sure that you reach out to Ian Lawson. But yeah, I think that I'm not confident going next week. I've done Peterhead twice this season. Both times I've went up there, we've lost. So I'm just it's almost a bit like the fear going up there, going, I've stupidly booked to go on the bus again because I'm clearly a glutton for punishment. But I'm not going up there with the same nerves that I've went up there the last two times. So yeah, you've got to hope. Sorry, done Peterhead once this season. I'm not going up there with the same nerves that I would normally be going up there with. And if you ask me if I would take 7 points out of the next three games in whatever order, I absolutely would. So I think that that's, I would take the draw next week to get the two back-to-back home ones.
I think it's very telling Dick Campbell basically saying bring it on for next week in his post-match after yesterday. But you've got to also bear in mind, though, the lift that that end to that game will have given the players yesterday. I mean, there is nothing better in football than a last-minute winner. And you saw the players' reaction at the end of the game. Now, these guys are riding the crest of a wave after what, until very recently, as we've touched on, has been a difficult season. So the belief and confidence and momentum's there with the players. So I certainly wouldn't write off the chances of a win, but I'll stick with my draw prediction.
Absolutely. Just to round off this part of the show, I'm going to come to you for your 3-2-1s, which I think are going to be very, very difficult. However, I'm going to come to you first. Go war.
Okay. I've probably changed my mind about eight times on this one, just because there were so many good performers. But I have gone 1 point for Easton. Even higher up, had he not had a Vieira for the for the goal, but no, I gave him a point. Two yesterday, I thought Walls was excellent, so I gave 2 points to Brogan Walls, and just for his all round work rate and a couple of goals, I had to go to Fash for the 3 points for me.
Gordon.
Yeah, a difficult week and a lot of names in the mix for me, and I have changed my mind a few times, but I've gone for the same three players in a slightly different order. One, Brogan Walls. Yeah, I thought that was his best game of the season for us. Just very good, complete all-round performance. Probably kind of slips down because he came off on the 70th minute or something like that. Two, I've gone for Easton. Yeah, clearly made a mistake, but I've kind of looked at it. Well, he got a goal a few minutes after that, so it's made up for it, and just very, very solid performance from him. And three, Fash, 2 goals, just really good work rate, put a real shift in, looked dangerous. You know, and even looking back at the highlights, there was times he was back sort of defending our box, winning headers in the box. So yeah, can he not give him the 3 points?
Only one player of difference in mind. So, yeah, 1 point Brian Easton. Again, had it not been for the mistake, he probably would have been up there for the three. But just not even just for yesterday, but he just looks like a man possessed just now. He's playing really, really well, and I think he's shown the player we thought we were going to get, that Stevie Tweed like mould. So hopefully we could keep him fit between now and the rest of the season, because I think that that's massive. My 2 points, I've flip-flopped so many times on who to give it to. I had Brogan in there. I thought Conor McManus had a good game yesterday. I thought a few players had a good game yesterday, but I actually gave him to Stuart Murdoch. I thought he was really, really good yesterday, in terms of defensively, just so strong, and up against a really attacking team. Tony Wallace is a nightmare to play against for any player, and I thought that for the most part, Stuart Murdoch handled him really well. And 3 points has got to be Nathan Austin. He was unbelievable yesterday. And actually, going back the last few weeks, I feel a little bit sorry for Alan Troughton that we've not done a show, because he would probably be way up there, in terms of some of the points that he'd have got for our player of the season. So, just a wee doff of the cap to Mr. Trouton himself. So it's amazing how quick you can get through a show without Doug and Michael, right? We've managed to cover pretty much 5 weeks. All things in the garden are rosy. So I was chatting to somebody yesterday, and we were talking about that Alan Fleming moment. When we were at TNS, and I'm shaking his arse to the Alan Fleming, and it made me think that when was the last time that we had a song for a manager that wasn't Bar Me Army?
Oh, it'll be a long time.
Good question. Can't even
So,
think what we had for Stevie Archibald back in the day. I can't even remember.
Jim Muffett.
But that was
Army.
Jim Buffett's Bar Me Army, wasn't it?
Well, there was other Jim Muffett songs. There's a few Jim Muffett songs that I remember. Well, at least songs that kind of like mentioned them, I suppose. But no, not in a while. I imagine something will.
You've been
Something
penning
will
some
come up
lyrics
in
again, Gordon. Hey,
it's
Lee.
it's it's a segue right into it, right? Because I've been thinking about, like, obviously, like, we've had a lot of innuendos, or innuendos, depending on which way you want to look at it. And I'm going to lay the gauntlet down to the listeners, but I'll give you my version first, and we'll see if we could make it so for our playoff charge between now and the end of the season. So, I've gone for, you know, that song All About That Bass by Meghan Trainor. You know, I'm all so as you know what it's going to be, yeah. Because we're all about that deck, Dec Campbell. We're all about the deck Campbell. I think that would be class on the terraces.
I like that
Brilliant.
one. Try and get
You can
started,
take.
Peterhead.
That's what I was going to say. Take that up to Peterhead next week, mate. That'll be lovely.
I'm on the Booze Express next week, so you better believe that that could be started. But I would need the backing of everybody else on the bus to get that one going. So, listeners, if you've got something that you want to add, that we can move that one on, then definitely be my guest. Am I right in saying that Schiavone wasn't on the bench yesterday?
I don't think he was, no.
Because I meant to actually ask that earlier on the show, and I just looked at my notes and went Schiavone question mark, and it
Must
wasn't. But yeah.
be a knock or illness or something like that.
Yeah, but we'll see if on the back of our song we've got obviously a band member in our mid-set Glory Days of Gold. We'll see if Doug could write anything better. My guess is probably not. He's just the face that runs the place when it comes to his band, isn't it? However, another segue from me is the PG Charletta and Glory Days of Gold show that's coming up next month at the MGM Timber Sporting Arena, where we're going to be doing a live show with some surprise guests. And I believe I wrote down the date and my phone's locked itself, so give me a second. That is going to be on April the 13th, which is the after Bonnie Raitt at Home. There is still tickets available. You can get them. We've shared that link on our social media channels. So please go on and buy them. It's going to be a really good night. You could expect the Glory Days Live podcast is going to be roughly about half an hour long. It'll just be, unfortunately, myself chatting to our guests, but make sure you get along for that. And obviously, we know Phil Charletta, he's one of our own. He's one of our own. Is going to be doing a live set there as well. So I think that there's potential for it to be a very good night. Buy our tickets, get along, take the ride. Boys, anything else to add before we round up our show for the evening?
Not too much has not been covered. I think just wanted to agree with a couple of points you made earlier. One, Jack Healy, really impressed with him yesterday. I know he's sort of started on the bench the past couple of weeks, and some players might let their head go down a little bit because of that, but it really doesn't look, no evidence of that yesterday. He was fantastic. And I think, something that we've mentioned before, that ability to kind of mix up the way that you play and the danger that you offer and a lot of the balls that he was clearly getting, he was cutting inside and shooting, but he was getting balls into the box and his cross to the goal was fantastic. So I think he deserves a lot of credit for his performance yesterday.
Yeah, I would
Laura?
second that. I would second just what Gordon said there. I think Healy, obviously I don't know him personally, but he strikes me as the kind of guy that would be annoyed at not being picked to start the game. I mean, you're in that position when you come off the bench, you've obviously got to show the manager that you should be starting the game. And I think his attitude when he came on was first class. I think his performance was really good as well. So well done to Jack for that. And also you build on what you said as well there, Lee. Obviously earlier about the board and the appointment, I think it can't be understated just how important this appointment's been and how positive it's been. So I would echo what you said and just say well done, and hopefully have a real positive last quarter of the season and then have a really good season to look forward to next year as well.
Perfect. I'm just going to put in a little rally cry. No, I'm not. I'm going to put a rally cry for between now and the end of the season. Yesterday, we had the lowest attendance in the league. And that's despite the uptick in form, etc., etc. I know that Doug, if he was here, would go 18 pounds. However, we need, if we want to be successful, that it means we really need to engage the community. Now, we've got the all the people that were in hospitality yesterday. That's so important, but it's equally important to get people through the gates. Get a friend, bring them to the next home games. What we do between now and the end of the season will determine what budget Dick and Pink have to spend in the summer to make us the best versions of ourselves we could be. Obviously, it's also down to Scott and I to bring in sponsorship and drive revenue that way. However, the more that the fans can do to back the club as well is so important. Now, I get that there's been a lot of merch that's come out recently. I get that you've probably got your donations to the Supporter Society as well, which again, if you can afford to do it, please make sure that you go on and do. It's our best chance that we're ever going to have to own our club. But I think that we need you to be investing in the future of the club. We need you to be rounding your friends up and bringing them to the stadium if you want to see us be successful. If we're in this division next season, it's only going to get more difficult because if Clyde go down, you're then going to see like a Brechin or an East Kilbride come up, two sides with money. If they stay down and Clyde stay up, they've got a fan backing them heavily financially as well. I believe somebody told me that they've invested almost half a million. Between this season and next season, Clyde are only going to come back stronger. So we need you, every fan, to stand up and be counted between now and end of the season.
Beyond that, is there any plans from a commercial perspective, any plans that you can tell us anyway, in terms of incentivizing people through the gate, i.e., season ticket holders come out, bring a mate for a fiver or anything for kids, or is there anything looked at all?
And I know that Scott made a proposal. What that proposal is, I'm not at liberty to say at the moment. Whether that happens or not isn't a decision for Scott and I to make. That is one that needs to be ratified by the board. The issue you've got is we do something like that, and all that happens is the people that already come would say to their mate that it's not a season ticket holder, I'll get you in for a fiver of the day. And then we end up making it a loss. So it's just trying to find the way to do it in the right way, and protect ourselves against any real risk. It's not just as easy as saying let's do that, because we need to make sure that we're covering the cost as well.
Yeah, I totally understand that and makes perfect sense. I guess where I'm coming from, obviously the financial side of things is massively important. That goes without say. But I think from a purely footballing perspective, I think to give the players a lift and again everyone else a lift, if we can, the more bums we can have on seats towards the end of the season, the better. But yeah, absolutely agree that obviously the finances are ultimately, generally speaking, dictate where you finish. So yeah, don't disagree.
Quarter season ticket, including playoff games.
Yeah, then what happens when the league backs in? No, I was joking aside. I don't think we could even mathematically do that now. I think we would need a miracle. Anyway, that's all for us from this episode of Glory Days of Gold. Thanks as always to my panelists for the day, Andrew Warrender and Gordon Henderson. Been really great to see you guys, and also to get a show out there. Michael, we hope you get well soon. Doug, whatever. And I'm sorry that we didn't manage to bring on Arne Andersen. Poor guy is probably fallen asleep taking his kids to bed because I don't know, Andrew, you'll know this, how many times you've probably done that yourself. So definitely easily done. But hopefully you guys are listening to this on Monday. As always, keep any of your questions coming in on social media. You could also email us, glorydaysofgold@gmail.com. And we look forward to seeing you all in the coming weeks. All aboard the Dick Express up to Peterhead next week, and we'll see you all then. And just to make it up, thanks for listening. Take care, and always come on to five.
Lord Provost Warren of Glasgow presents the Scottish League Cup to the side that last in the course banner, all conquering East Fife.
As I made my way to that pitch on Wellesley Road to sing my songs for the boys in black and gold, I heard the stories about 1938. I was just a boy, I knew I'd have to wait. There's broken dreams and what might have been at that stadium by the shore. But those glory days